Let us pray. Eternal God, in the reading of the Scripture, may your word be heard. In the meditations of our hearts, may your word be known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. Let us listen now for the word of God. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When I was in third grade, my class had a reading contest, and I'm very competitive. The more books we read, the more stickers we got on a chart. And I found that in my church's library, there was a series of Bible story books, little hardback books, probably, I don't know, 30 pages long. But I figured out I could check out a chunk of those a week, read them very quickly, add up my stickers in class, and then go back for more. So in the course of about a month and a half, I read the entire series. I won the contest. What started out as a challenge ended up teaching me something amazing about Scripture in third grade. I thought I had read the entire Bible. And I was extremely proud of that, because I read all of these different stories. I read like two on Daniel, a couple on David, a lot on Jesus. And in addition to feeling quite accomplished about myself, I could rattle off some pretty good Bible facts, which is pretty good for a Presbyterian. What I learned through this practice was that these were stories of the same God, our God, the one that we talked about in worship and Sunday school. And the same God was acting in the lives of all of these different people and all of these different stories that I read. And some stories connected to the others, and they referenced things that had read past, because I did read them in order, because, you know, I'm like that. So I read the chronology. And these people that I met in these stories suddenly seemed a lot like people that I knew, or reminded me of some of the things that I like to do, or things that seemed scary to me as well. And Scripture suddenly started to make a lot more sense. We all love stories. We're made for them. We love to hear them. We love to tell them. We listen to stories hoping to confirm some truth that deepens our understanding of who we are as human beings. We long for connection through stories. We all want affirmations that something in our lives have meaning. And nothing gives us a greater affirmation than when we connect to others through story. Stories can cross boundaries of time and context and culture and allow us to experience the similarities between ourselves and others, bringing the gap together. The Bible, at its core, is the great story. The stories of God's people. They're all collected together, helping us bridge the barriers of time and place, and all the while sharing the stories of God's truth and love and grace that God has for all creation. These stories help us grieve like the psalmist, sing with joy like Mary, wrestle with God like Jacob, stand tall like Esther, work for justice like Micah. God's gift of Scripture is for us all, not just telling us, but showing us how it is that God has always been at work in the world. One of my preaching professors in seminary always tried to calm our anxiety about preaching, which doesn't go away. She would say simply, "The task of preaching is this. Keep your eyes open and look around and see what God is doing. How is God breaking into the world? And then just go tell about it." And that really is the joy of preaching. You have called me here to keep my eyes open and to watch for how God is breaking in, and then to stand here and tell you about it. Sometimes I'm able to lift up the stories of others that I've met, sometimes your stories, and help us all see how it is that God is at work. And by that definition, really, we're all preachers. This morning I have invited Morgan and William, two of our rising seniors, to share some of their own stories of God breaking in. Morgan has had the opportunity to share in our summer work camp week. We had an urban mission experience in Mobile, Alabama. And William was able to serve on stage leadership at the Montreat Youth Conference just a few weeks ago. So let us hear how God has been breaking in.
I've spent my entire life in the South, so I'm pretty used to saying thank you to anything and everything. But I was genuinely startled by the heartfelt way that people at Coffee Club said thank you to me. It was a different kind of thank you than I'm used to. It wasn't like a thank you for my receipt kind of thing. It was a thank you for feeding me. Coffee Club is a breakfast ministry offered by Government Street Presbyterian Church in Mobile, Alabama. And our group was invited to run the serving line one of the mornings during our week-long urban mission experience. That morning, all I did was scoop applesauce and put it on a plate. I didn't make the applesauce, didn't even put it in the serving bowl. All I did was scoop applesauce and put it on a plate. But along with around 10 others from Highland, the staff members at Government Street Presbyterian, a new friend from the LARCH community who has intellectual disabilities, and a dedicated church member, we were serving a meal. It wasn't one individual doing the work of serving. It was all of us working together as a whole to make a visible difference for people who were incredibly grateful. It was people serving people, people eating with people. It wasn't charity work. It wasn't even mission work. It was just a compassionate sharing of meals, time together, and stories. And the people I saw on Wednesday morning at Coffee Club were some of the same people I had seen the night before at St. Louis Missionary Baptist Church, where we had shared in a worship service and a meal together. We thought the service would be like Highland. We were wrong. It was a very different kind of worship than we were used to. There were a lot more amens and hallelujahs shouted than I have ever heard in my life. But one of the coolest things was the fact that there weren't any hymn books or screens or anything, but everybody there knew the songs and they sang joyfully. And the meal served after the worship service was the first time we got to sit down with these guests. At first it was really weird sitting down to share a meal with them, knowing that we were eating food that others needed more than we did. What surprised us was in sitting down, we were sharing stories and helping us all by building relationships and learning each other's stories. We didn't initially realize that the fellowship was just as important as the food. That night, I happened to be wearing a Mount Tabor High School shirt, and one of the people I shared dinner with was a man named Daryl, who immediately began to tell me the biblical significance of Mount Tabor. I never knew a public school could have such a religious history. Turns out Daryl was a victim of hard times that only seemed to be getting harder, but you couldn't tell that from the smile on his face and his genuinely happy attitude. I'm grateful for experiences that challenge me to live my faith and experiences that help me see that I can make a difference. I could have stayed home and slept in all week, but I didn't, and I'm really glad that I didn't. That week in Mobile helped me be more aware of the world around me. Now it's different when I see someone on the street. I'm starting to see not just a face, but a story. Every single face out there is a person whose life is a story. One of the ancient rabbis said that God created humankind because God loves stories. One of the things that made this mission trip different for me is that we were able to reflect on how God was at work in the stories of the people we serve and how God was at work in our stories too.
So as strange as it may seem, I really didn't want to go to Montreat when this summer started. Last year, I had such a great experience that I thought there was no way to top it. No matter how good this year was, there was no way that this year's conference could even begin to compare. I knew that I was just going to get disappointed and sad. You see, last year, I had a very small and very tight-knit back home group. It was me and three of my closest friends ever. So close, in fact, that I thought that if I came back without them, the experience was going to be empty. Something was going to be missing. So I tried to figure out how I could explain to my parents, my friends, my youth pastor that I just really didn't want to go this year. But being the procrastinator that I am, I never got around to it. So on that Saturday morning, I added my luggage onto the bus, and we went. Now, I brought my phone for two main reasons. One, I don't really wear a watch, and it's really important to know the time up there. And two, I needed to keep in contact with those friends as much as possible, even though service up there is nearly impossible to come by. But Saturday night, we were sitting at the house, I took out my phone and I was excited to see I had two bars of service in that house. So I started to plan out all the times I could call and text, planning out when is small group, when is this, when is that, so I can call these friends and be able to talk. Finally, I settled on Monday morning. I wanted some time alone, so I decided I would take a walk and call one of them. So, Monday morning, I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning, fell right back asleep, woke up at 6:15, and headed out. I had my phone with me, and I talked to one of my friends as I took a walk down to Lake Susan. Finding a stump on the riverbank, I sat down. And then, all of a sudden, my hand slipped. The phone bounced off my knee, bounced off the stump, bounced off the ground, and fell straight into the lake. I can only imagine what the friend on the other end of the line heard. Tap, 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 doo. So, I got down on my hands and knees, and I fished around and finally found it sitting at the muck at the bottom of the lake. Now, this is not a Samsung Galaxy S5 with that waterproof feature. It was broken. When I looked at the screen, it was attempting to download all of my pictures onto a computer that it apparently thought it was plugged into. There was no computer there. I believed it was broken almost beyond repair. I was right. I took out the battery, I cleaned the entire phone, I tried everything, but it would not work. Suddenly, I felt more alone than ever. I felt exiled from my home, from my friends, from everything that I had left behind. And I was angry. I was mad at God for the circumstances that had just taken away every mode of communication I had. I could not call, I could not text, I could not email, Facebook, chat, anything. I was upset. Until I realized something. It took me a while, but I finally realized that this exile might have been the greatest thing that had happened to me on this trip so far. Some people say that at Montreat, you can connect with God, despite the fact that you don't have that network of connections to all your friends and family back home and everything. I think, however, that at Montreat, you can connect with God because you don't have that network of communications anymore. Not having my phone with me meant that I had a great time. I had been trying to relive or recreate my previous year instead of making new memories and friends in that present. Now let me be clear. Let me make one thing very clear to all of you who might be coming to Montreat for your first time or going back for another trip in this coming year. I am not saying that if you want to have the best Montreat experience ever, the first thing you do when you get there is chuck your phone into Lake Susan. That is not my point. My point is that these exiles that we all go through are not ends of anything. They are, in fact, new beginnings. They are new starts to our journey. They are new chances in our lives. They are new chapters in our story.
These are two stories of decades of ministry that has happened in this place. These are two stories of dislocation where they have gone out away from this place, cut off in different ways from what they have known, opened themselves up to new experiences. Jeremiah in this text is writing to God's people who feel very far. But these words of comfort remind us that God went with them. Not only did God go with them, but surely, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not to harm, to give you a future with hope. God's plan, God's story is for us. It's a story of hope. Hope in the midst of exile. A hope in the midst of grief. A hope even with the greatest experiences of joy. That God walks with us. This is a community that tells stories. We tell stories in Scripture. We tell stories in Lemonade at the Shade. We tell a lot of stories at Fling. We tell a lot of stories on rocking chairs, on a porch, at the Montreat All Church Retreat. That was one of the first moments that I felt truly loved and shared with in this community. It was with a group of people watching a couple little girls singing Let It Go. We are a place of stories, part of God's great story. So let us continue to follow in this tradition, to share ourselves, to listen, to keep our eyes open for the ways that God is indeed breaking in, and go tell about it. We got some stories to share. Stories of God's hope for us all. Amen.